come upon the Giovanni this week.
I got water bottles all over my room, calling up O'Shea. Hands in my pockets, pull down diamonds, full bloom. Got wings at my ankles, King Hatshepsut took my groom. Got Kali and Kachina, and yes, Nina Simone. I got life. And all my badass grandmas leaving jewels in my pockets. What in my room? What in my room? Oh, oh, those rivers run deep. Those rivers run deep. Those rivers run deep. Run deep. Run deep. Those rivers run deep.
With one's point of view, what your sense of reality is, what your system of reality is. It depends on assumptions which we hold so deeply as to be scarcely aware of them.
The issue of color alone was not the thing that made you long for somewhere out there that must be home. It was something that you could not put your finger on. Even behind the closed doors of your family home, the patriarchal hierarchical structures were full of micro and sometimes patriarchal violences to your self-esteem and agencies as a young black girl and later a young black woman, making it clear that what you really were, you shouldn't be, couldn't be, was wrong to be. Often to name these violences was a slippery slope, something that made you feel as if what you, who you really were, considering the options that were reflected back to you, must exist elsewhere, somewhere out there. You used to ponder this, especially during those times you escaped to your secret spot along the railroad tracks. At those tracks, that is where you planned your journey to other places, perhaps other worlds, in which you could perhaps find alien kin. I'm a fugitive, that's how I live. As I go along looking up the narrative. Home is in the narrative. Here, somewhere out there seemed more reliable.
I've always known I had to know by the time I was 17 years old. What you were describing was not me, and what you were afraid of was not me. It had to be something else. You had invented it.
She would find kindred spirits in textbooks that spoke a language beyond the written and the spoken, a common chord that chimed, no, reverberated. Like many of her kind, Baldwin is kindred spirit. And Baldwin, most poignantly through his fictions, he spoke her truths. She was becoming politicized, queer, gender fluid, WOC, woman of color, becoming within the terrifically contradictory matrix of American narratives, in which the construction of blackness could make you a prisoner in your own skin, even among those who would be your kin and melanin. A reality that left many of her kind feeling doubly alienated. Baldwin was a soul that understood her precarious positioning, polarities not so cleanly cut, other zones, intersectional realities. Now rereading him again, she falls in love again, not with the infatuation of a young adult discovering a place of space of belonging for the first time, but as one who begins to love having lived. In a sense, she visited Giovanni's room again and again, each time she fell in love. Whether it be a lover, a friend, a place, or an idea, across the myriad of inner terrains one must voyage through during this process called life. Another country is not necessarily a place on this planet, but somewhere out there in a parallel universe. As the search continues, you realize that much of what it means to feel at home has to do with negotiating and renegotiating a fragmented interiority. There are connections between this and what passed in Giovanni's room. David struggles with being, with loving the darker parts of himself through loving the darker Giovanni. He discovers for fleeting moments a place where he feels more himself than ever, more at home. The tragedy lay in his shame, for he felt it was his destiny to be the man he was born to be in this world. White, hetero, eventually married. In the end, he finds himself in a no man's land of continual denial, denial of his darker interiority, even though he can never really return to the place he left or fully allow himself to become the person he truly is becoming. These reflect the struggles one faces when making your home in another country. You can never get back that same sense of home you felt in your native land. You are forever changed.
Change. 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 That room.
It became in a way, every room I had ever been in,
and every room I find myself in hereafter will remind me of Giovanni's room. I did not really stay there very long. We met there before the spring began, and I left during the summer.
But
it still seems to me that I spent a lifetime there.
Life
in that room seems to be occurring underwater. As I say, and it is certain, and it's almost certain,
and it's almost certain that I underwent a sea change there. It is necessary to hold on to what mattered. Blackness and whiteness did not matter. To believe that they did was to acquiesce in one's own destruction. Hatred, which can destroy so much, never failed to destroy the man who hated. And this was an immutable law. James Baldwin, native son. Baldwin fled the United States of America, not with Jim Crow America at his heels, but in hatred, seeking to make a feast of him as it did his father. An anger and hatred that almost got him killed in a small town American diner. There he reacted violently to a racist waitron. His plight could have been that of a young dark Giovanni, whom having taken as much as he could, reached the point of no return and murdered his tormentor. As a result, Giovanni faced the guillotine, whereas Baldwin, with the help of a friend, narrowly escaped with his life from that small Southern American can town. It shook Baldwin up enough for him to realize he had to leave the country in order in some way to realize himself, to begin to heal, or one way or another, hatred would eventually kill him. The process of dissipating hatred requires that one navigate the source, which which is always woven with a sense of alienation and fear. Baldwin had to delve into the terrain of the othered selves. As many have written in his fictions, Baldwin lays bare a pain which propagates in turn a debilitating hate, a hate of self, a hate of others, which comes from an enforced denial of true existence. Here lies the crux of our imprisonment. She said, "You've been away so long." Home exists in some other time zone. In another country. As he did in Giovanni's room, Baldwin makes reference to country and home, switching and blurring lines between geographical socialized locations, interior. He, with his own style and grace, explores the fluidity of gender, sexuality, and race. Giovanni was white, but he is introduced as a dark Italian. His acceptance into the queer, predominantly white and upper class community was predicated on how much he would allow himself to be consumed. If he wasn't willing to be a ready-made meal, he was reminded of his place. These conflicts Giovanni has are interior, though filtered through exterior circumstances. However, Eric, in another country, is an upper middle class white guy, white queer kid, that grew up in the South. He was first most loved, ironically, accepted by his parents' help, a fatherly black man, and later through the love and friendship he shared with a black boy in town. There is little, if any, reference to his color until we are introduced to his childhood narrative. But we understand his feeling of otherness. His proclivities put him outside what was expected of him as a white male, and the fact that he could be nothing other than what he was forced him to flee the place of his tormentors, for a source, to a place in which he felt free to become himself. And in fact, that his whiteness is not foregrounded makes one relate to him in the realm of conflicted interiority. It takes whiteness from center stage and places alternative narratives as central. Baldwin always also lets you understand through his fiction how homophobia is American as apple pie.
I've been called bad.
So what do you say about somebody else, you know? Anybody else? Ravine's you.
It's only a name, and I wish I could, like, say sticks and stones and break my bones. But it was very hurtful. It's hurtful to be called, to be demeaned by someone who's supposed to be your brother or your sister.
What I think of you as being is dictated by my own necessities, my own psychology, my own fears.
You know, it was like a nigger calling another nigger a faggot. What's the point?
I've always known, I had to know by the time I was 17 years old. What you were describing was not me, and what you were afraid of was not me.
You know, I don't attempt to speak for the whole community, just for those, you know, who I deal with. And it would be best if you stay away from the community. It would be best.
What you were describing was not me, and what you were afraid of was not me.
Both Giovanni's room and another country, Baldwin explores the ways in which misogyny is reflected a reflection of self-hatred with both queer and straight men. Baldwin also gives voice to the precarious positioning of women of color endure and often don't survive. In a conversation in 1980s, I believe it was 85, with Audre Lorde, he says, We are behind the gates of a kingdom which is determined to destroy us. He agrees with her when she expresses the fact that we are knee-jerk on sexuality and knee-jerk on gender. Baldwin replies, I don't know what to do about it, but I agree with you, and I understand exactly what you mean. You're right. We get confused with genders, he goes on to say. Part of the horror of being a Black American is being trapped into an imitation of an imitation.
The other deeper element of a certain awkwardness I feel has to do with it has to do with one's point of view. I have to put it that way. One's sense, one's system of reality.
It's impossible, in my judgment, to deal with the indictment of Mr. Baldwin unless one is prepared to deal with him as a white man. Unless one is prepared to say to him, the fact that your skin is black is utterly irrelevant.
It has to do with one's point of view. What your system of reality is.
In our entire civilization, the only thing that the white man has that the Negro should want, he said, is power.
On assumptions which we hold so deeply as to be scarcely aware of them.
White man.
Your system of reality is.
The thing that the white man has that the Negro should want, he said.
Your sense of reality is.
That is power.
It depends on assumption.
The Negro should want, he said.
Your system of reality is.
The thing that the white man has.
It depends on assumption. It depends on assumptions which we hold so deeply as to be scarcely aware of them.
James Baldwin was futuristic in his vision. Now back to whatever home he arrives when one leaves this earthly body, he becomes the stuff of legend and enters the realms of myth. He understood that to unraveling and facing the others which live in the terrain of interreality frees up space, ways to alternative futures. Freedom lies here. Our future is indeed here.